The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 108, Baby Yoda Bad?
Question mark?
Yeah, I don't know. That was fun. Is that the highlight of your week, John? The Mandalorian conversation?
I actually think the conversation about CBR and Batman Three Jokers was
well.
My
that's the highlight of your year,
exactly.
Yeah, we have that. You have that to look forward to. But our Mandalorian conversation was pretty good. There's spoilers, but it's not really a show that really You know, this episode had really nothing that you could spoil anyways.
Right, it didn't. It was a
There's
bottle.
There's no continuity.
Yeah, it was a bottle episode. It kind of ship in a bottle episode.
There you go. So. And in a couple seconds here, people are going to get to hear that exciting and powerful opening. The greeting that you gave me. It's just, I mean, after dinner, John, you just come with all the energy.
I bring the heat.
It's fantastic. All right, with that kind of excitement, we got to get these people into the storm. John, has it been a week already?
It has been a long week.
You haven't had your caffeine today, it sounds. It has been a long week.
Yeah, they were out of Diet Coke at the restaurant tonight, so.
Uh-oh.
I had to drink beer instead, so.
Oh, know. No. All right, so I'm bringing all the energy.
I guess. So I had a couple of beers right before we started, so.
Oh, boy. Here we go. <That's Yeah>. Oh, man. All right, then. Well. How was your day?
It was okay.
Other than they were out of Diet Coke.
Yeah, except I didn't get Diet Coke at dinner, which is a bummer. But, yeah, it wasn't as busy as the last few weeks, but it was okay.
How did Punchline do for you?
I mean, it did okay to the people that the pre-orders, but I didn't sell a ton of copies off the rack.
Right.
Specifically. It did fine. I was hoping for more walk-in traffic, but most of it was subscribers that came in to pick up their stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I was hoping that would do fairly well because I thought there was some hype off of that coming off of the Joker War and everything like that, but...
There was some. Yeah, there was some.
Just didn't pay out.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, maybe it's like the tortoise and the hare. Maybe it'll just have legs going all week, you know?
Right. Okay. Hey, I've got something. I've got something that you sent me, or I think it was right after our show last week. Is CBR listening to the Bright Side Chat?
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
You remember that? You sent me that?
Yeah.
And they're,
I did.
Was that a tweet they put out, Batman?
No, I saw it on Facebook.
Oh,
it was
one of their headlines.
Talking about the ending of the Three Jokers, which I famously called them out for.
Yes.
On our very public show that lots of people listen to.
CBR.
Including Rich at CBR, yeah.
Yep.
So, so they had, they had a believable explanation on, why Batman would ask about the Joker's identity if he already knew what it was. But, I don't know. To me, that felt like just backtracking because, they listened to us and they were trying to figure out a way to.
It's like, what row?
Fix their mistakes because I called Jeff Johns out. Yeah, far-reaching implications of the things we say here on this show.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
Apparently. You got people scrambling across the interwebs.
I mean, you know, Tom King follows us on Twitter, so
true.
You know, once it gets in his ear, that's it, you know.
Right, exactly.
He calls Jeff, he calls everybody over there at DC and says, man, these guys called you out because you made a mistake, so...
Eh?
You're the writer. You better write something to explain what you were doing.
Exactly.
So that's what happened.
So, hey, that's your job, John. And to be honest with you, when you said, I didn't even think of any of that. And I just enjoyed the book for what it was.
I'm like E.F. Hutton. When I talk, people listen. That's for the older listeners.
Oh, God. EF, people are Googling, EF who?
EF Hutton, yeah. EF who? Next thing I'll be asking them to pass the Grey Poupon.
Oh, God.
So.
All right. What do we got for news? Let's start off with something exciting.
What do we have for news? Let me see.
These beers are killing you.
Well, no, I had to scroll to the bottom of the page.
I know.
Which one of these is exciting that you want us to start with? Or
I don't know.
Okay. There's a lot of Disney Plus news here. Most of these things have to do with Disney Plus, but it looks like some details are starting to leak about the Star Wars show that Leslie Headland is set to produce, I guess, next year.
Yeah.
We had already heard that this was going to be a female-centric show, and it looks like it is going to be set... It's like an Elseworld story, I guess. It's supposed to be set in an alternate timeline, different from the one we're used to, and it's going to focus... it's going to have like a martial arts focus. So that's intriguing.
A martial arts Star Wars story?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's already somewhat martial arts, right?
With sword fighting. Play, yeah.
So, you know, I'd be interested to see how far they take that. But what puts me off about it a little bit is the alternate timeline aspect of it. Because there's such a huge portion of the universe that we haven't discovered yet already, that why does this have to take place in an alternate timeline? Like, why can't it just be in a different part of the universe that we haven't been to yet?
At the same time, you mean?
Yeah, at the same time. So, in time frame, like this could have, like there's already rumors about the next series of movies taking place like thousands of years before.
Right.
A New Hope.
So I wonder if that's what they mean by timeline.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Instead of an alternate timeline or alternate universe, or rather alternate universe, it could just be an alternate timeline, or it could just be in undiscovered locations. Like, there's lots of things they could do to not make it feel like an Elseworlds type of story. Because when I hear that, I feel like, well, this is not canon. Like, they can do whatever they want because it doesn't have to tie into anything that we care about. And I think that's cheating a little bit because it's taking the easy way out. But you know, all that being said, I'm in for anything Star Wars. So
sure. Exactly,
you know, I'm sure I'll be down for it. But what wasn't brought up on this, and I actually just thought about it right now. I saw a story earlier this week too, talking about Jessica Henwick, who played Colleen Wing on the Iron Fist show.
Yes, yes.
And apparently she was the original Rey. Like, she was the front runner to take that role.
Really?
Before they gave it to Daisy Ridley. Now, I had never heard that until this week. And I, you know, it got me thinking about how different things would have been, because I think she's a great actress too. And I like Daisy Ridley, but
yeah,
I think, you know, it would have brought a different flavor to it. But it just occurred to me that a female-led martial arts type Star Wars show, she could be perfect for a lead in that. So, knowing the reach that we have here on the Bright Side Chat, I'm putting that out there to the universe that I think Jessica Henwick would be the perfect lead for that show. So, expect to see that reported in the news in the next week or two,
or days.
Yeah, days even. Hours.
We haven't even put it out, put the podcast out
yet. I know,
yet.
I haven't even put it out yet, and I already expect to hear it.
Google it. It's out there.
That's how far our range goes.
Exactly. So,
but yeah, I think that would be great. Like, she's already obviously interested in the star, because it was talking about how, you know, really how disappointed she was in not getting the role, because something she was really, really into. So yeah, just putting it out there.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. I think those things would go well together.
There you go.
All right. Also from Disney Plus, rumor has it that the now canceled Boba Fett movie is going to be turned into a miniseries for Disney Plus. So, you know, no idea is ever discarded. It's just recycled. So I think obviously with the way things are looks like they're shaping up in The Mandalorian this season. I could definitely see a world where we get a Boba Fett show on Disney Plus. So I think that would be really cool.
I thought there were rumors that they've already started filming on that.
I haven't seen that, but it's possible. I mean, there's rumors for everything. So.
Yeah. No, I've heard that. I heard about rumors that they've started filming that. They've started filming season 3 of Mandalorian. And
I saw that was set to start filming. I didn't see that they had started that already, but.
Yeah.
It looks like that's getting ready to go. If it's not already, it's going to be in production pretty soon.
Yeah. So. Well, because, you know, you've got to get to season 3 and, you know, of Mandalorian before we get anything else on Disney Plus. Because we've got to keep the streak alive.
But hey, in that vein, it looks like Loki has been renewed for season 2.
Thank God. I loved season 1.
Yeah, so somewhere in like 2028, I guess we'll see season 2 of Loki. Because we're probably 6 years away from season 1 at this point.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so that's great. You know, I love to see those season 2 renewals before we even know if we like the show or not.
Have we even got a date on season 1?
No.
Have they started on season 1?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I know they're, you know, obviously they were almost done with WandaVision, you know, which is done now, and they were pretty far into Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I didn't realize they had even started filming on Loki yet, so.
I don't think they have. I think this is another Oprah thing. Like, you get a season, you get a second season.
Exactly. Just renew it for, like, the next decade. You know,
Somebody told the producers of Loki they're getting a season, and they're like, they must mean another one. Cool.
Right.
We thought we already had one, but all right, here's 2.
Yeah, so that's cool, because what's cool about that specifically is the fact that most of these so far have been confirmed to only be like 1-season deals.
Right.
You know, like the Falcon Winter Soldier is just 1 season. WandaVision is just 1 season. So the fact that they're even talking about a season 2 for this is pretty encouraging that, you know, maybe not everything is, you know, it's just going to be a 1-season thing.
Have we seen a date for WandaVision yet?
No, not specifically.
They haven't announced it. I keep seeing that announcement's coming soon, but right. I'm not sure if I missed it.
I mean, at this point, it's going to be December, right? Because we already have the November lineup for. Well, if it happens this year, because they keep promising
there's only one month left.
So, I mean, we already know what the November releases are for Disney Plus because, you know, we're already in the month and they've been announced.
Right.
So it would have to be December, otherwise we're not going to get it, and it's, you know, it'll be early next year. So I really hope we get that for Christmas this year, because The Mandalorian will be done and we'll be looking for something else to watch.
Well, so, seeing as most of the year we've gotten coal, it'd be nice that we get that for Christmas.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of Christmas, not to go off on a tangent, but this is kind of dead on. Have you heard the news has been percolating that, oh my God, Wonder Woman 1984 may get moved?
Oh, yeah. Well, big surprise. Shocker. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Surprising absolutely no one. I would be pretty skeptical at this point that we're going to get that in December.
When they put it on that day, I said I was skeptical. I would be surprised if it stayed there.
Yeah, that's and that was surprise. Like 3 months ago when we didn't know how things were still going to be going. But
right.
You know, at this point, things are not slowing down in any way. So I just can't see where they're going to be able to put that in the theaters for Christmas Day.
Well, and the other thing is, and not to go down this route, and this is not a tangent, but it is in the news, and they're talking about a possible vaccination by March.
Yes, I heard that too.
Okay, so if you just play that out, if by May, you know, if a vaccination is available and now people can rest easy, you can get vaccinated, you can take care of the people that are vulnerable, you can open society back up maybe by May, which is movie season.
Right.
You know, people can start going back to the movies and we can get to some sense of normalcy, and to try to, with a vaccine being just projected for March, isn't it kind of foolish to even launch anything in December? Like as big as Wonder Woman?
Yeah, you know? It seems like it would be at this point. You know, May puts it in close competition with Black Widow, but
I heard June.
That's fine.
Dustin on Comic Talk today, Wednesday, as we're recording this, he had mentioned that he had heard June, but he had heard rumors too. He doesn't know
for
a date.
What?
But
Wonder Woman or
Wonder
Black
Woman
Widow?
For June? Yeah, but that's
well, that
just,
would just
that's
that would
speculation.
Put it 2 years after its original June release date.
And that's what's so funny about Wonder Woman. And every time we hear about her getting moved, or the movie it is, it could have been out a year earlier, but they delayed it because of Endgame.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it was? It was Endgame that they were for...
Something opened up, and like the original time they moved it to was because something got moved off of that date. I don't remember what, but they felt like they would have a better result, you know, with the
They moved it a whole year. They've got to be kicking
they moved
themselves.
It. And yeah, they could have already...
That's just
already
money has just been
in.
Sitting there.
Yeah, they could have cashed in on this movie a year ago because it's been done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this movie's been finished for quite a while. So, yeah. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. But, yeah, I bet you they're wishing they had just put it out when they had a chance.
Yeah. What's funny is Dustin on Comic Talk was also saying today that he's – and this is – it's not really news. It's kind of like – it's one of those rumor things. But it's a rumor that maybe Hawkeye is going to show up in Black Widow and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the funny part to me. What's funny is this movie should have been out back in May or whatever, and we're still getting rumors of like, ooh, speculation that Hawkeye could be in it. No, it's done. The movie's done. Right. Either is or he isn't. But it's like we're still speculating on where did that come from? It's not coming out until May now, right? That one did get moved to May. So it's May 7th.
Yeah.
So that got moved a whole year. But this movie should have been out 6 months ago. And here we are still speculating on who's in it. What's it about? What is this? It's just the talk on these things just never dies, which that's the fun part. What you reading over there?
Oh, just looking at my notes. Nothing special.
All right, what do you got?
So next on the list we have Umbrella Academy renewed for season 3 on Netflix. That doesn't come as a surprise, I don't think, to anybody. Season 2 was well received, and we know there's a third and even fourth series of the comics.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, so I would expect that season 3 would take the place of Hotel Oblivion, which is the third graphic novel series.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's exciting because that, you know, we both liked that quite a bit. Then this last one is a bit surprising.
Why?
Just based on everything that happened with COVID in this movie. But it looks like Vin Diesel is set to return for Bloodshot 2.
Yeah.
I mean, we liked Bloodshot, but
I loved it.
Didn't make any money. So I think the fact that they're getting a Bloodshot 2 is just the could have been. Because, you know, I guess they expected that in normal times it would have done okay. And you know.
I mean, it literally opened the Friday before everything shut down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so
it didn't
had
get
4 days in the, right, it, well, five, really.
It was not the fault of the movie at all.
No.
It just was a victim of timing. But it still has to be stated that it made no money. So
right.
they can't be basing a sequel on box office or even VOD rentals, I would imagine. I don't think it probably didn't do spectacular there.
Yeah,
either.
A week later it was released on VOD,
right.
Which was really
cool.
But
they
cool.
must have believed in it. They must have believed in it enough, you know, that they're willing to go ahead and greenlight a sequel. So, I mean, I'm excited because I really liked it. So,
yeah.
And you know, again, I was hoping that this would launch like the Valiant movie verse, and I think that's still what they're trying to do with this.
Right.
So. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's kind of it. It's like a relief because that's what we were afraid. We were afraid it wasn't going to get its second chance,
right?
Because and through no fault of its own. And to be honest, I mean, to be fair, not honest, but to be fair, it's not like this was going to be like a $500 million movie.
Oh no, it was right. It's never going to be a Marvel movie to begin with.
It was probably going to do 100, maybe. I would be, yeah. After word of mouth in a healthy time. And then had a decent following through, you know, rental and on demand or whatever, and then
right.
Blu-ray sales. But I really loved that ending. Just seeing this news, I want to go watch it again. It's
yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that movie, and we had a lot of fun talking about it too.
Yeah, we did. It was like, I've only seen it once. You know, I saw it in the theaters. I didn't buy it on VOD. I know you bought it like five different times. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out, so I'd be interested to see it again. I'm hoping to pick it up. I'm imagining the 4K disc is out at this point.
Oh yeah, that came out in June, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, I had it
up
in
yet,
June.
So yeah, I'll probably pick that up and watch it again. But yeah, I thought like it was a good
movie.
Yeah,
it's a fun movie. Really enjoyed it. Let's see, what else we got? I don't have anything else. You had a bunch of my stuff, so that's about it.
Yeah, I didn't see, like I said, I didn't see really anything else come out today, news-wise, so.
No. Well, we got some comics to get into. We've got some real world to talk about. We got a Mandalorian Minute coming up. We got plenty.
We do.
All right. You ready to get into some comics?
Sure.
Alrighty, John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
Alright, from Marvel Comics, we have Champions issue number 2. There's a 1 in 25 Megan Hetrick variant that's going for about $40. So that's a bit over ratio for that. DC has Dark Knight's Death Metal Infinite Hours Extreme. This is just the Lobo issue. And it has a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for between $45 and $50, but it is starting to slide backwards a little bit. So
quick,
sell. Yeah, you might hold off on that one because you could probably pick it up a little cheaper in a week or two. But this is also the first appearance of what they're calling the Frazetta Batman, which is the Lobo Batman mashup to go along with all the other ones.
Oh.
I don't know.
Did you read this?
I did. I don't know how long Frazetta Batman's going to stick around or what kind of lasting impression he'll make. But, you know, we all know how the Batman Who Laughs ended up. So this is no Batman Who Laughs for sure, but it could appear. Lobo has his fans. I'm not really one of them. Like, I didn't enjoy this book at all. I personally think it's a stupid character, but a lot of people really like Lobo. So
I bought the book, but I'm so not into death metal. Like I've said before, I don't know why. It just hasn't grabbed me.
Yeah. Well, this won't either, in the sense that it doesn't have even that much to do with death metal. It really just felt like a Lobo one shot.
Yeah.
That, you know, they wanted to get out there. So yeah, there's that. From Image, we have Marked, issue number 9. There's a C cover that is a virgin version of the A cover. But looks like people are after that one. It's selling for about $7, so almost double cover price. Scarant Hood, issue number one, has a 1 in 10 variant that's selling for between 12 and 18 bucks, so almost double ratio on that one. Sonic the Hedgehog 34, like all the last several issues, the 1 in 10 variant is selling for about 20 bucks. Star Wars Darth Vader number 7. This is the first full appearance of the Sith Assassin, Ochi. The main cover here is the one to watch. It's selling for about 15 bucks. The Sprouse Empire Strikes Back variant doesn't seem to have really as much interest. But if the main covers sell out, you know, everywhere, yeah, then people will kind of glom onto whatever covers are left. Yeah, I also got a chance to read this today. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little later if you read it, but, the hype of that character from the first appearance last issue, I don't know how long he's going to stick around after this.
I haven't read the Vader today.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read that one, but
we'll see. I don't know if he's going to be as important as we thought he would. and then last but not least, we have Taskmaster number 1. The 1 in 50 variant is selling for about $75. So that's a pretty good clip for that book as well. Again, probably not a lot of these out there. I don't know how many stores are ordering hundreds of copies of Taskmaster number 1.
Yeah.
So that's it for Speculator Roundup.
All righty. What do we have for back issue bonus?
All right. So first issue is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures, issue number 1. This is a key issue that just seems to be getting harder and harder to come by. Near mint raw copies are pushing $200 at this point.
Wow.
Bit of a resurgence on the Turtles based on The Last Ronin. I'm even seeing like the regular series selling a few more issues than what I would normally sell. So
now I think are you just seeing your customers come in, or are you just seeing that online?
No, I've had more people requesting it. Like, I've had to go back in and do some reorders
right on
the last couple of issues because, as I've mentioned multiple times, it's not a big seller, and I really only order it for subscribers.
Right.
I don't order shelf copies. So I've had additional people wanting to order those books after FOC that I've had to go back in and do reorders on. To the point where for the next several issues, I'll probably order extras just to see if it translates to
right any
additional sales on the shelf. But I think there's a bit of a frenzy right now with The Last Ronin, and, we'll see how long it lasts. Hopefully it'll, because The Last Ronin only runs 5 issues. So hopefully, if people get interested in the ongoing series, maybe they'll stay on board.
Right.
Now,
are these customers like our age? Like, are they like older customers that are just coming back to it?
Yeah, for the most part.
That's cool.
Yeah, for the most part.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, they're all subscribers that I've already had. They're not new people coming in. They're people that already shop with me. But
right,
they just haven't been buying the Turtles up until now. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's cool. Like I said, anything
good
to get more people on board, I'm all for it. So, all right. Next, we have Savage Dragon, issue number 253. This is out just about 2 weeks ago. The B cover featured Savage Dragon with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So, I bet you can guess why this is heating up now. But yeah, based
Was there an alternate cover with Trump Pence so they have both bases covered?
There were not. Eric Larson is famously not a Trump supporter.
No.
So, I know. But this is currently solidly $20 to $25 to the point where they're actually even doing a reprint of this now, proclaiming them like the winners of the election.
Right.
If you picked up one of these, it's like I said, it's tripled in price since last week.
That's
all right,
so funny.
Yeah,
on a book called Savage Dragon.
The Savage Dragon, yeah. Right, right. They have nothing to do with that character at all. It's just Eric Larson is a staunch anti-Trump supporter.
And, like a lot of people.
like a lot of people, and felt like he wanted to put that out there. He's actually taken a bit of heat for it on social media, but I don't think he cares. All right, crossover, issue number one. We didn't know about this when we talked about it last week, but there was actually a secret variant.
Well, we were told to keep it a secret. Well.
Yeah. I didn't find out about it until Thursday morning, actually. I read about it online. But if you look at the cover where the kid is sitting on the cover reading the comic, and it looks like one of those infinite loops where he's, you know, reading the comic and the kid's reading the comic. Well, on the secret variant, the comic he's reading is actually the B cover of the book and not the A cover. So it breaks that loop a little bit as far as the infinite, you know, image. But yeah, it looked like about a 1 in 10 ratio. I ended up with 3 of them that I know of. Like, it's possible on Wednesday.
So they just mixed
Thursday.
Them in. They're called.
They just mixed them in. Yeah.
Cool.
And like
I'll have
said,
to look at mine.
astute customers discovered that.
That's cool.
But yeah, out of the cop, I ended up with 3 of them. Like I said, that I know about. I could have sold a couple on Wednesday or Thursday that I didn't catch, and I did not even go, and I didn't go back and look in people's pull boxes to see which ones they had. Like, you know, if they got it, great. If they didn't, that's great.
Right.
But yeah, so if you picked up one
I'm
of those,
get mine.
Or you can find one of those on the shelf, they are selling for between $25 and $35. Pretty cool that I like when they do things like that. I don't like when they do it and I don't find out about it until way after. Last but not least, we have from DC Comics Uncharted issue number 1. You know, Tom Holland is working on the Uncharted movie based on the video game franchise. And because of that, this comic is spiking quite a bit at the moment. It looks like it's selling for about $50. And then there's an Adam Hughes variant, which is pretty scarce. And they're on eBay. 2 listings. One of them is listed at $1,000, and the other one's listed at $1,500. So I don't know that they're going to sell for that, but that's what they're being listed at. And then apparently there was a trade paperback that's out of print at this point, which also has that Adam Hughes cover, and it's selling for $75. So a lot of interest on that right now.
So I looked at my crossover number 1. It's the regular one.
It's the regular one.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Go back and look on the shelf. There might be something there.
Actually, yeah, Friendly Neighborhood still has a bunch on the shelf.
Yeah. And again, if they don't know about it, they could just be mixed in because it wasn't easy to spot, you know. You really had to look at it.
So. Right.
But that is it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into FOC for next week.
Yeah. So
or DC for this week, whatever.
Yeah. starting with DC, so there was a lot of missing cover art for DC, a lot of missing variant covers, but we did have a couple to look at. The first one is Catwoman issue 28 that has a Jenny Frisson variant cover.
I like that one.
Yeah, I did too. And then Superman 28, Kale New, I guess. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. That's a pretty – I like that cover as well. And then
looks very young.
He does look young. And then as far as new series from DC, there's a one-shot. It's the Teen Titans Endless Winter one-shot. So we talked about Endless Winter last week being an 11-part series. It looks like it's the main issue and then a bunch of one-shots. So
looks like they're ready for a snowball fight.
Yeah, and there's two covers there. Moving on to Image, we have Homesick Pilots issue number 1. With 1 cover, and then Post Americana issue number 1 of 6 issue miniseries and 1 cover there. From Marvel Comics, we have variant covers for Captain America number 26, Julian Tedesco. This is the Nullified variant.
And then, I actually like the art here. I'm not crazy about the image itself, like seeing that, yeah. But I like the art though.
Yeah, I thought this was a cool cover. Yeah. And then Fantastic Four 27, Juan Ferreira, a Nullified cover. That one was okay too.
Yeah. That was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, liked both of those. New series, these are all, well, they're not all, but the first two are King and Black tie-ins.
Yeah.
We have the Black Cat, King and Black, issue number one.
I really like
multiple
that
multiple covers. Yeah, I like that cover.
Very
also.
Vibrant.
Yeah. And then King and Black, Immortal Hulk, number one, has multiple covers.
Hulk
and then
needs
finally,
a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked a little...
A little thin,
yep. And then King Size Conan, issue number one, has multiple covers.
That's a cool cover.
It was very cool. And, you know, we know my love for Conan, so
yes.
I'm looking forward to reading that. All right, from AWA, we have Bite Sized, issue number one. This is going to be a four-issue miniseries. This is written by Cullen Bunn. I got a chance to read this today. Looks interesting. As far as AWA goes, it's not as good as most of the other titles.
Okay.
The art felt a little bit more cartoonish, like it was a lot more stylized. And it didn't get into a lot of detail. So, like, I don't really know what's going on exactly, but,
yep.
But it was still interesting. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what you think of it when it comes out.
Well, Cullen's got a podcast on the Nerdy Legion, you know.
Cullen Bunn, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
The Bungalow.
I did not know that.
That's him. Yeah. I believe it's him and his wife, Cindy.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a podcast right here on the Nerdy Legion.
Right here on the Nerdy Legion. Yeah, imagine that. Maybe we can get him on our show.
There you go. I'm sure we could. I think I can maybe look into that.
Yeah.
Was that a Christmas theme book? I love the cover.
It's like Die Hard in the fact that it takes place around Christmas. But I wouldn't call it a Christmas book or slash
so
movie.
So you're saying it is.
But it takes place in the winter.
Well, then so did what was the other one? The one we just talked about, the snowball fight.
Oh, yeah. Endless Winter.
Endless Winter. Oh, I'm having trouble.
That must be a Christmas book, too.
Like, I had the beers. What's that?
That must be a Christmas book, too.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to Bite Size. Well, it's AWA, yeah. So you know I'm going to read it.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it was interesting. I told you I read Erratic last week. I like that one more.
Okay.
But this was interesting.
I really like that cover, though. That's going on the wall at Christmas time as a decoration.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it. It's cool with the dog looking up. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was cool. The dog was fun. It actually plays a part in the story.
Cool.
All right. From Ablaze Comics, we have The Cimmerian, The Frost Giant's Daughter. So, again, another Conan story. There's been a series of these Cimmerian books from Ablaze the last year or so. So this is just the next in the line for that. And then lastly, from Dynamite Comics, we have Red Sonja, The Price of Blood, issue number one. Too many covers to list. And then Vampirella, The Dark Powers, number one. Also too many covers to list. I didn't want to count them all, but there's a lot.
Welcome to Dynamite.
Yeah, that's Dynamite lives on variant covers. So
that's funny.
Yep, and so that is it for FOC.
Cool. All right, let's get into this week's checkout.
Yeah. First book I read was from Titan Comics. It's called Cutting Edge Siren's Song, issue number one. Did you read this today?
Yes.
Okay. This was a big book.
Yes, it was.
Like, for $5.99, which is, you know, a hefty cover price for a new comic, but it had to have been 45 pages. It was pretty long read. Looking at the synopsis here, it says Tomb Raider meets the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and that's sort of apropos. You know, you start off meeting a cast of like five different people who are all summoned to a meeting. And maybe not Extraordinary Gentlemen. I don't know.
I was thinking more like Clue meets like.
But they were brought together by Leviathan Corp, and I immediately got
upset.
Action Comics, Brian Michael Bendis flashbacks, and I almost didn't want to read this.
I thought of that when I kept reading Leviathan. I'm like, John's not going to like this.
But basically, they're brought together by Leviathan Corp to play kind of like what is like the deadliest game or something, right?
Right.
Like there's a series. They likened it to Hercules in his 12 trials. And, you know, they're setting a series of trials for, I'm guessing, multiple groups, although we only meet the cast of the group that we're going to follow. And conveniently, they're all in the same group because,
Well, that's the story.
Yeah, that's the story. But yeah, so they're going to be set on a series of challenges. They don't know what they're really playing for, but they're all kind of like the top in whatever field they were recruited from, and their egos are what's going to propel them forward more than like the promise of any particular prize. So with all that being said, I don't know. It was okay. I felt like the art was really good in this. And I enjoyed reading it. It almost felt like I was watching a movie more than reading a comic.
That is exactly what I thought.
But by the time I got to the end of it, I'm not sure that I cared enough to go on. I felt like as I was reading it, I was enjoying it all the way through. But by the end, I didn't know if I cared enough to go on with it. So
it was a slog. It was a slow, and I wouldn't even say burn. I didn't feel like there was any burn here for the length of the thickness of this book.
Yeah.
And I thought that I thought it would pick up a little more or something before the end to really get you to grab you to bring you into the second book.
Right.
But I did feel like this would make a much better movie or a series.
Right.
Than it is a book, because I think we would be more entertained by the acting in here, because it was so slow, and if you're reading it, you're acting out the parts.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think it would just be, it's more entertaining as a visual medium than it is reading this. And you're right, the art was good. I wasn't blown away by it, but I thought it was good. But again, at the end, you just felt like,
there was that little tag at the last panel where it looked like, they were going to go to war or whatever, he makes some kind of comment like that at the end. So there's kind of the promise of more action to come, but I'm not quite sure I cared enough,
No, I know.
So
they open it up real exciting with a couple of adult scenes.
Yeah.
All right. And then it kind of just went flatline.
The only thing that really intrigued me more than anything about it is, like, and we've said this a few times recently too, where like I read this entire book and it really just felt like a very grounded, real world type of book.
Yeah.
But then they threw this little, again, supernatural element right at the very end of it that makes you think maybe there's going to be a little bit more to it, and it's in the title. They talk about the Siren Song. The sirens obviously were part of Greek mythology, and that comes up at the end of this book, but you don't know if it's just the ramblings of an old man or if it's something that's really going to kind of move the story forward. So that was a little bit interesting, but again, I hate to keep saying it, but I'm saying it again, I still don't know if I cared enough,
right?
to go on to the next issue.
Yep. So.
So. I'm sorry. Let me back up a little bit. This was written by Francesco Dimitri, and it had art by Mario Alberti, and both Italian artists and writers. So I don't know if this was, apparently they're, according to this, they're pretty famous, in Italy for, you know, they must have different, I mean, I'm sure they have right. different comics there that have been really popular, and this is their okay. kind of first foray into the American market, but because it says renowned fantasy author and award-winning Italian artist. So I'm sure they've done other things there that we just don't okay. know about. So
interesting.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, take it for yeah. what it's worth. I mean, for if nothing else, for $6, you're getting, you know, you're getting a graphic novel's worth of books.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's quite a bit there. So
yep. All right. So in that kind of same vein, did you read Miskatonic?
I did read Miskatonic.
All right. Very similar. No?
Yeah.
And yeah. it has, I felt like, so reading through this, I felt kind of the same way. Like it has that, you know, real world grounding where we got, you know, J. Edgar Hoover is in charge of the Bureau of Investigation. That's right. what they call it. Not the FBI, just the BI.
Right.
It's like, but it's, the thing kind of moves kind of slowly. And then at the, what would you say, the last quarter of the book, it kind of picks up to a really kind of weird supernatural ending.
Well, again, I think I mentioned this when it was on FOC. I mean, this is Lovecraft. Hmm. And this is all part of the Lovecraft world. And yeah. This was, I believe, Aftershock Comics. And they've done yes. other books in this vein, and as a matter of fact, I think the, like, her partner, who's like the retired agent, I believe he was in the previous series.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm a little bit more on board with this because I like this stuff,
that you occult know, stuff.
I, yeah, I like the Lovecraft stuff. And like I mentioned, like Miskatonic University and Arkham and all that stuff, they're all places, and these are all characters from Arkham. They even mentioned the librarian, and I can't remember what his name is, but these are all names that I'm familiar with. So
okay,
so I give it a little bit more latitude because I like the story, but standing on its own, this wasn't the most exciting book.
No, but I thought this ended better than Cutting Edge Sirens did.
Well, it did because it had a little bit more cliffhanger.
More grab. Yeah, a little bit more grab to it. It was shorter, too.
It was quicker. Yeah, definitely a quicker read.
It's a much quicker read with a grab at the end, which kind of makes you want to, you know, you don't feel like you're going to be investing as much to find out the second book.
Right.
Whereas with Cutting Edge, you're like, I feel like I just read two books and I'm not.
Well, grabbed. Right. That's the whole thing. Like, if Cutting Edge number 2 comes out and it's like a 20 issue comic, I might read it. If it's another 45 page issue, I'm probably not going to pick it up.
Right.
So,
right. So I may pick up Miskatonic number 2, especially now that you know, if you're really into it, I'm definitely going to read it
because I liked. Like I said, I liked the last couple of series that Aftershock did, and you know, like I said, I'm familiar with the setting, and I like, you know, I like that world, so I'm definitely going to give it at least an issue 2, you know, give it a shot. So,
and writer Mark Sable and art by Giorgio Pontrelli.
Okay,
so and yeah, like you said, Aftershock Comics. So
yep.
All right. What else you got?
All right, so from
this
IDW,
one I didn't read.
Yeah, IDW Publishing, Dungeons and Dragons at the Spine of the World. This is issue 1, and it's going to be a 4-issue miniseries. It was written by AJ Mendez and Amy Garcia, and it had art by Martin Coccolo, I believe. Excuse me. So again, this is another series. Like IDW has done a series of minis based in the Dungeons and Dragons world. So this is, you know, obviously a really popular property, and the setting that this takes place in, Icewind Dale, is, you know, one of their famous campaign settings. So, yeah, as you can imagine, this is just a Dungeons and Dragons adventure. You know, you've got your sword and fantasy group of people that are getting together to do a thing. The art was, I thought, great. I really liked the art, and I really liked the book. Now, once again, I have love for this stuff already. Like, I am fully immersed in the Dungeons and Dragons mythology. You know, I've played the game, read the books, played the video game. You know, I played, you know, the video games. So, I mean, this is all stuff I'm really familiar with. All the locations I was already very familiar with. But yeah, this, you know, again, it sets up, you know, you have a group of people that come together under, you know, varying circumstances, and by happenstance, they get thrown together and they have to do a thing. And, you know, without getting into the spoilery details, you know, that's what this is. This is going to be a 4-issue Dungeons and Dragons campaign. And if you like Dungeons and Dragons, this is going to be for you. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. So, you know, and if you're not into Dungeons and Dragons so much, again, if you like the Game of Thrones, if you like The Witcher, I mean, if you like this stuff, then you probably still will enjoy it, but it won't be as familiar to you because you won't know all the kind of the lingo and the of the names and places. But yeah, it was fun, and I definitely recommend it to anybody that likes this type of fantasy adventure. So.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I didn't read that one. I'm not really into Dungeons and Dragons, so it didn't really grab me. But I did read Punchline Number One. Did you read that?
Well, I read it a few weeks ago. I did not reread it today, it's not as fresh. But yeah, I've read it.
But I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
It kind of surprised me. It's got a fun, like, she's a podcaster.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's a huge spoiler, but I like the way it, this is just a one-off, but it's not really, because isn't it just leading into next year, right?
Well,
is she getting her own book?
Right. I mentioned that when I put my Facebook post up about this, and, yes, it's definitely, you know, this takes place in the aftermath of Joker War. And it's definitely setting up like 2021. Like, this character is not going away. She's going to be front and center in the Batman mythos for a while. It's, you know, again, it's too early to call her the next Harley Quinn. But, I mean, this is a character that they're definitely hoping to make important. Now, ultimately, it comes down to the readers, whether they will embrace her or not. But if DC has their way, she will be the next Harley Quinn, because that's kind of what they're hoping for. And yeah, the character herself is, you know, pretty devious, you know, very Joker-esque, and yeah, she's evil. So she's fun character.
Yeah, I like the way they weaved her personality in and out.
Yeah.
Throughout the book, and how they're, it's just a really good story for what is considered a one-off, but I think it's more of a teaser than it is a one-off, you know.
It's definitely a prologue to.
Yeah. To what's to come.
Of things to come. Yes.
It's really good. And with, you know, Tinian writing it, I'm really looking for, I hope. She is getting her own book, just to be clear, right? This isn't just like she's going to be in.
I haven't seen any announcements of an ongoing title yet. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if she does eventually get one. But I think for the I think for the immediate future, she is just going to be a role player in the Batman books. You know, whenever the Joker comes back. Well, at this point, she could exist without the Joker, really.
Right.
But.
Yeah, she'll have her own story to the side.
Exactly.
And then weave that in and out of the Batman books.
Right.
I really liked it. I thought it was fun. I think, especially if they weave it into what Batman's doing right now, what's going on in the Batman story now. Because, I mean, even in this book here, there's few panels that are like, you know, Xerox copies of the last Joker War book, the ending of that. And so they're really moving that along. And it's, I really liked it. Really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, anybody that read Joker War, this is a must read. And anybody that's going to read Batman next year, this is a must read because, you know, it definitely, after Future State. but it's definitely, like I said, it sets the stage and gives you a lot of background on this character, which we haven't really had yet. You know, I mean, she's been in the books, but she is, you know, she's just been in the present and we hadn't really learned anything about her. So this is kind of her origin story and where we get to learn what she's up to and kind of how she came about. So,
Yep. It's going to be fun. What else did you read?
I mentioned that I read Darth Vader. I didn't think it was as good as issue 6. And that's why mentioning. Yeah, that's why I was mentioning this character. I mean, it was fine. Very quick read, like a lot of just panels. I really feel like I went through this book in about 4 minutes.
Sometimes, like, that's disappointing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Especially on a Star Wars book.
I wanted a little bit more to the story. I mean, obviously the stories were being told in the pictures, but I don't study the pictures as much. Like, if I don't have words on the panel to read, I just kind of move on to the next one. So, like, I don't really follow it
that
way.
Unless it's really good art, yeah.
Yeah, and it was okay art, but yeah, obviously this is takes place immediately after the ending of number 6. And, you know, we kind of get to see the aftermath of the Emperor going to town on Vader. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't as fun as the last issue, I didn't think, so... that's why I was saying I don't know about that character, if he's going to be as important as maybe we thought he would. So we'll see.
So in that same vein, I read It Eats What Feeds It, number 3.
Right.
And finally, I believe that's wrapping up the whole story. It didn't finish as strong as it started.
So not book of the year.
Well, no, I would still put the number one at book of the year. That I loved that book.
Right.
But the overall story, no, it's not the book. It's not the story of the year. Let's say that.
Right.
It's still good. But, I mean, how do you come down? How do you top that? What I thought, I loved that first book. But this one, much like you were saying about the Darth Vader, it literally took me not even 5 minutes to read this book.
Right.
It was a lot of panels. You're looking at them. And I mean, the story moved along quickly. It was almost like, you know, they really grabbed me with 1, 2 was fun. And then 3 was like, and here's the end.
Right.
Like, you could have just put that at the end of 2. But I won't say anything in case you want to read all 3 of them.
I would like to read it eventually. I just... now that all 3 of them are out, maybe I'll be able to get a trade or something and read it.
Yeah.
But I never had issue 1, so I really wasn't able to.
I'd like to hear your take on the overall story after you read it, because there's some, I don't want to give it away, but there's some tie in there that I think you might find pretty intriguing. Pretty funny. Cool. Not funny, but it would be a good conversation. So, but yeah, that's all I was able to read today, really. I didn't even.
I mean, I read a few other books, but nothing that really. Like I said, I read the Dark Knight's Metal Extreme.
Yeah. And you didn't.
So this was, basically it was all Lobo, and it was one story told in 3 chapters, each by a separate writer and artist team, which usually I don't like, and I say usually, I didn't really like it here either. Although each team was good, like the writing and art throughout were pretty good on this. But it bothers me when it's not carried through. Like, to me, it feels inconsistent when it's different art teams and writing teams telling the story. But yeah, again, I'm really not the biggest Lobo fan, so this didn't really do it for me. But if you like Lobo, I mean, this is all, it's Lobo to the extreme, you know?
Right.
Because it's like, you know, it's got Lobo, it's got Batman Lobo, it's got Solomon Grundy Lobo, it's got Superman Lobo, you know, it's got all the Lobos. So if you like that, then this is definitely for you. But He rubs
Bogo
me the
wrong. Lobo.
That's right. He rubs me the wrong way. He gets on my nerves, so I don't really care for him.
Comic book character that gets on your nerves.
He rubs me the wrong way.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, like I said, I read Detective. Yeah, I read a bunch of stuff, but nothing that really stood out. I mean, they were fine. Detective was good. You know, good issue, but.
I'm actually like two behind on Detective now.
Yeah.
Actually after this week, I think I'm three behind. I just haven't picked it up.
Read. Yeah.
I gotta get caught up on that.
Yeah. And then not today, but over the last week or so, I've been able to go and I've read a bunch of the Avatar comics.
Oh,
finally,
yeah.
Which I really am enjoying because the more I get into that, you know, I am, well, we'll get into it in the real world here in a minute again, but I'm coming to the end of Korra, so.
You need just more?
I just want more. And like I said, these comics are the bridge between the end of Avatar and kind of like the beginning of Korra. And so I'm really enjoying them. I like the stories. The art feels very consistent with the show. They all seem to be written by the same guy, so the story's very consistent. So, yeah, I recommend them if you like Avatar at all. These were all done by Dark Horse. They're a little bit harder to come by now because, you know, Avatar is really picking up in popularity again since it's moved to Netflix. So these books are a little bit harder to get your hands on. But, you know, if you can get them and read them, if you like Avatar, they're really good. So.
Yeah, I'll have to tell Joe about that because he really loves the you know, the show. He watched it growing up, and he's watching it again with me now.
Yeah, he'll like the comics for sure.
Yeah, cool. And as a matter of fact, he listens to us all the time because he has a lot of driving to do. So we probably just did tell Joe.
Well, yeah, exactly right. You don't have to tell him. You just did.
Just did.
Yeah.
So did you hear that, Joe? All right. Is that it?
For comics, yeah, that's it.
All right, John, let's get into some real world. What did you watch this week?
We started off the week, we finished off The Vow. So I think last week when we talked, we had like five episodes to go. So we finished
that. That's an afternoon for you.
It was an afternoon, and it was probably Thursday afternoon, as a matter of fact. And, you know, again, that was, I'm not going to say it was good because it's disturbing subject matter, but I mean, it was handled well as far as, you know, they did a good job presenting the material. But yeah, it was definitely interesting.
What's disturbing? Are you giving it away by telling me?
Well, I don't know how much you know about it, but I mean, it's all about like sex trafficking and, you know, abuse. So,
They portray it as wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they wrongheadedly portrayed that as a bad thing. But you know, he's a scumbag, you know. The only thing that bothered me about it, and I guess there's going to be a season two for this, because it felt like there was a lot of the story that they didn't delve into. Like, you know, we all kind of know what happened to Keith Raniere because it's in the news. You know he got 120 years in jail. But we don't really know what happened to any of the other people that were involved because there was a lot more than just him involved. So, I mean, obviously I can Google it and read because it's, you know, it's not fictional. It actually happened. But
right.
I would kind of hoping by the end of the show that they would have gone into some more of that. Because like I said, you have Alice and Mac and like there was really nothing about what happened to her throughout all of this. And, you know, the other lady that founded Nexium with Raniere, you know, what happened to her. So I think there's more to come for that. But anyway, all that being said, you know, if you're interested in that at all, it was a pretty good documentary. So
cool.
We watched that.
What is that on again?
That was on Netflix.
Disney Plus?
No, it's Netflix. No, I'm sorry. It's not Netflix at all. It's HBO Max. Yeah, it was on HBO Max, and it's called The Vow.
Cool.
And then we watched on Apple TV, and I'm going to recommend this to you strongly.
Nice.
Ted Lasso.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It is fantastic. It is really, really good show. Really funny, really charming. It had a lot of heart to it. Like, it was just really good. It's a really easy watch. It's 10 half-hour episodes.
Nice. We've been looking for a good, like, fun... Is it like a sitcom?
It's a comedy. But it's kind of like a dramedy, you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely... Like I said, it's got a little bit more soul than you would get just in a sitcom. But it was, like I said, it's really good. The premise is...
And that's on Apple TV?
It's on Apple TV. It's Jason Sudeikis. He's basically an American football coach, and he gets hired to coach a Premier League soccer team in London. And so it's kind of got a Major League feel in the beginning. Like, you know, he was hired because they wanted him to fail and not succeed. Yeah. Although he didn't know that's why he was hired, obviously. So at first I was like, this is really Major League with soccer. But it kind of evolves away from that quickly.
Yep.
And like I said, really good. All the episodes are out, yep.
Okay.
And I don't know if it dropped all at once, but by the time I found it, it was already there. Like I said, I recommend it to anybody. That now it's a little bit harder to get because you have to have Apple TV to get it, which, you know, you know, if you haven't bought an Apple TV, you're probably not going to buy one just to watch this show. But if you own one, this is definitely a good watch. You know, I kind of liken it to that Mythic Quest, you know.
Apple TV is actually coming out on other streaming services, though.
Are they?
Yeah, you don't have to just have an Apple TV now.
Oh, well, because I know originally you did.
Yeah.
That would make it better because I would like to see some of these things open up to the wider market because there's just more opportunity for us to get more seasons.
Right.
Now, the thing with Ted Lasso is it's already been renewed for a third season. So we're getting season 2 and 3 of this. Whereas some of the other ones that we've talked about, like The Morning Show and C, we still don't even know if we're getting a season 2 on any of those things. So
I thought the Morning Show was.
Well, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard or seen anything on it, but I hope we do because I really liked all those first wave of shows that we got on Apple TV.
Right.
And then really, I haven't watched anything on there that I haven't liked.
I know.
Like Mythic Quest was pretty good. Yet? No, I still haven't seen that. But again, even besides you, I've heard other things about it. A lot of people really enjoying that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've got that movie with Bill Murray that I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but that looks pretty good too. So they're doing some pretty good stuff over there. But
that one just came out.
Yeah, it just came out last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was watching Ted Lasso. They had the previews for it. But yeah, like I said, definitely recommend that. That was great. And like I said, that was a quick watch. We did that in basically two evenings. And then other than that, we've just plowed through Mad Men. We've got like 4 episodes left and, you know, we'll be done with Mad Men. So that'll be probably I got to work tomorrow this week, so Friday we'll finish that, and then we'll be done with that. So
cool.
And that's great too. Like, I'm not going to recommend it to you because I know you're never going to sit down and watch 7 seasons of Mad Men, but it's a really good show. Like, it really grew on me. Like, in the beginning I wasn't sure. The premise is so simple, I was like, how are they going to stretch this out over 7 years? But it's just the characters. Like, the characters are so compelling as you get through the end of this. And
right.
Like I was telling Lydia the other night when we watched the last batch of episodes we watched, you know, we've been watching what amounts to 7 seasons worth of shows with these characters. There isn't one likable character in the entire show. like every single one of them is just, they're just all such total pieces of crap. Like, none of them are good human beings at all. You know, like, Don Draper is the worst human being you've ever met. he's just so bad, you know. But none of them are good people, but you're just so enthralled by all of them because they developed every character to such a degree that they're all worth watching, but none of them are good people at all. They're all so
bad. That's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
So So, yeah.
Speaking of not good people, yeah, we're watching Dexter still.
Really, yeah, yeah. Not a good person.
He actually is, though.
Well, he's
that
he's a good person,
you know?
Yeah, he is. He's like the Punisher, right?
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Although I wouldn't say I wouldn't say Frank's a good person, so...
Right. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I know it's an older show, like Mad Men. It's an older show, and I just figured it out. I just looked back, and we're on season 3, so we're almost done with it. Jimmy Smits is where we're at right now. Jimmy Smits is, I'm guessing, is about to buy the farm.
I don't even remember. But yeah. I'm guessing that next season is the season with John Lithgow, and to me, that's the best in the whole...
Really?
Yeah, that's the best in the whole series. Yeah, it was a really great season.
But
I think that's the high point. It kind of falls off a little bit from there. The last couple of seasons. Not that they're horrible, but like I think season 4 sets a bar that they don't quite reach again. But
yeah,
it's really good coming up. You'll enjoy that.
We watched. We didn't watch The Undoing this week. Have you seen that?
Oh,
did
I did.
You see Sundays.
Yep.
How
sure
was
did.
It? Good.
It was good. Still good. Yeah, still very good. It's a good show. Yeah, really good show.
We hadn't had a chance to check that out yet. It just dropped on Sunday. Saw a couple episodes of Avatar. I'm enjoying it. It's very relaxing. I watch that when I get a chance and, you know, and Joe's hanging out or whatever, but I don't need to have him around to watch it, but I am enjoying that. And Jen and I had a date night, just came down, popped some popcorn and watched Back to the Future.
Nice.
The whole thing, yeah. I watched it a little while ago. But
yeah, I was going to say, I know you just watched it, but...
Yeah, but we had such a good time with it, though. It's so much fun. And it's like, so you look it up, and it's listed as a family movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, incest, rape. I mean, you're watching this, and this took place in the 80s, and you're like, these scenes that are going on, and I granted that they were going back to the 50s, but it's like, it was crazy. Biff. It's like, just, you know, leave me alone. I'm in the car with her.
Right.
Walk away. What? That wasn't cool. That wasn't cool in the 80s.
Right.
Have you, who was it? Somebody did a stand-up on that. I think I told you about it before. It was wicked funny. I'll have to find it.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it.
John Mulaney,
okay.
I think.
I know who he is. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he did a stand-up on that, and it's like the writers proposing this to the studio.
Right.
And he's like, he like goes to the studio and goes, yeah, I've got an idea. And it's like, we're gonna have this kid and he meets this scientist and they make a time machine and they go back in time. And the studio goes, oh, that'd be great. And maybe they try to save JFK. Ooh, that'd be a good idea. But we got a different idea. He goes back and tries to sleep with his mother.
Right.
Like, what? Oh, but he doesn't. It's really good. Check that. Google that. It's really funny.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, I saw 300 for my other show this week.
Oh, yeah.
Watched 300.
I watched that recently. Although I don't have the 4K disc, but we watched it on Blu-ray a little while back.
Well, John, listen to my review of it on my home theater podcast, and you'll want to go buy the Blu-ray. Blu-ray.
I already want to buy it anyways, but.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. It's that I love it. But I won't get into that here. But yeah, I really love that movie.
Cool.
Are we ready for our Mandalorian Minute?
Sure.
What'd you think? Did you like how they started this week?
How did they start this week?
Yeah, a little Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, are they really going to do this?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
whole
scene.
Yeah.
The whole scene, all the way to the pack. You know, the pack shooting the guy up into the air, and you're like...
Yeah, that was great, though.
It was. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, it's like, it's Star Wars, and yet we're pulling ropes between two rocks too.
Yeah,
I was like, really? They have ropes on Tatooine?
I thought for sure. I mean, he's the Mandalorian. I thought for sure, just as they pulled it up, he was going to shoot it.
Right. Yeah, I didn't expect him to actually get caught by it.
Right.
But yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, and that whole thing with the backpack was pretty cool. I mean, overall, this was not my favorite episode. Like, it felt like very much a filler episode. It didn't really.
So you're in that camp? Are you getting frustrated?
Not frustrated at all. No, I'm not frustrated at all. It just wasn't one of my favorite episodes. Like, it was fine. There was nothing actually wrong with it. I just didn't think it was great. I guess Baby Yoda is become public enemy number one on the internets this week, though.
Did you hear? I replied to hashtag Dork about they had mentioned that Baby Yoda's taking out an entire species, and I thought the same thing on the first viewing. So I replied, I'm like, yeah, I thought the same thing, but that was just their family. It wasn't right, the right. Species,
it wasn't the whole, right. It wasn't the whole species, but it's just patricide and not genocide,
right? But then Mark replied. He goes, "Well, wait, Chewbacca's roasting porgs, and then they're flying the Millennium Falcon with them. What's the difference?"
I mean, I was just like, "Hey, kids got to eat," but
right.
But still, Baby Yoda's getting a lot of flack on the internet this week. I think his approval rating is down this week, but. I'll have to check the pollsters next week and see what happens. But
Can you trust the pollsters, John?
Yeah, I don't know.
But you know what's funny is when that was happening, I thought early in the episode when he popped that first one in, I was thinking that was going to be the only one that survived or something.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he'd pop it back out at the end and go, there you go. I saved you one.
I was holding it for you.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something weird like that. But yeah. The creepy crawlies, though.
Yeah, well, that was – I liked the callback with those because they're – we've seen them before.
See those before?
They were in – originally they were from some unused concept art that Ralph McQuarrie did for – Empire Strikes Back, and they were supposed to be on Dagobah, but they weren't. They didn't make it into the film.
But Dagobah has no ice.
Well, they were just more spider. They weren't ice spiders necessarily. But even still, when we saw them again, it wasn't ice either because they were in Rebels. There were several episodes with those spiders in Rebels.
Oh, okay.
And that was from the callback to the original artwork. So they've kind of recycled them again. If you remember from Rebels, they were, that's why they had to set up the boundaries around the camp point because of the spiders.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They had bigger ones.
Right. That was more of a desert setting. Right. Yes. So they can live in other climates, but here it was. Yeah, here it was definitely the ice planet. But
and what's funny is I didn't even pick up on that because in Rebels that's animated, so they were kind. You know what I mean? I didn't make that connection because these were, well, for all intents and purposes, real.
Right. <You know? laughs> Right. And they were ice spiders.
Yeah. It was so cool how they had like little ones and just like running around your room, especially with the Atmos. It was, I said, I watch it first thing when I get up on Friday and then I watch it again later in the day with Joe. And it's like when that scene came up, I'm like, you might want to put the collar up on your shirt.
Right.
You start to feel the tinglies on your neck. You're like, nah. And it's when he got out of his ship after it fell.
Yeah.
And he's walking around. I looked at Joe. I'm like, I just couldn't be a pilot. We're dead.
Right.
You look at the thing, things are sparking and smoking and you're like,
yeah,
and
fish lady, frog lady is like, fix it. You know, he's like, okay, let me just pull out my, my toolkit.
My multi-tool.
And, yeah.
I got my Leatherman here.
But, I really liked, Dave Filoni, the other guy from Kim, the two X-Wing pilots there, were good.
Yes.
Kim's Convenience or something. He does a show called Kim's Convenience, I believe, on Netflix. The Asian guy.
I love when the wings opened up.
Yeah.
He's just looking around, and all of a sudden the wings just go, he's like, oh, this ain't going to be good.
Yep, this is not good. He's like, turn on your, something like, turn on your ping or whatever. I don't have it. And then all of a sudden things go up or whatever, and he's like, oh, it's right here.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Found it. Yeah. What do you mean you found it? You just told me it wasn't working. Not that you couldn't find it. I thought they were going to do the line from Hunt for Red October. One ping only.
Right.
Because they were, we need a ping. Just one ping only.
But I kind of liked the callback to the, you know, like the Prison Break episode from season one, you know, because they referenced his role in that and kind of why they let him go. But I love the fact that they came down and saved him by shooting all the spiders and then just left him there.
And then left him.
He's like, okay, see ya.
Yeah, they just... You know, got in, turned around, and took off.
We just came back to tell you that, you know, you're good. We're not going to chase you, but, you know, we're not going to help you either. So yeah, that was, I don't know. It was good, but I'm kind of hoping for a little bit more in the story that we're waiting for. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like when we got season 7 of the Clone Wars, and then the first 4 episodes were like the Bad Batch episodes. You know what I mean? It's like...
Right.
I want Moff Gideon. I want the Darksaber. I want Ahsoka. You know, like, let's get there. That's kind of what...
Remember how that ended?
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. So, I don't want to wait till the last episode to get any of these other, you know, any of this story. So, hopefully, we can move it on a little bit quicker. There's only 6 left, you know, so...
Yeah, but I mean, 6 more weeks, that takes us what, into December. And then that's got to be where they're pacing out.
Yeah, I'm sure as soon as this is done, we'll probably get WandaVision the following week, I would imagine.
And what do you think when WandaVision ends? I think they're paced out right now that we may be able to go right in order. Like, there'll be another one after WandaVision, like...
Well, the next one would be Falcon Winter Soldier, but I don't know if they're done yet. I know they've been in and out of production, you know, with the shutdowns, yeah. But I don't know if it's finished. I haven't seen anything where they've said that they wrapped filming, so we'll see.
They must have been way behind, because they were set... The announcements we had... pre-COVID was they were supposed to be out in August.
Yeah.
So what were they filming right up until...
They filming stopped back in March, right? So...
Yeah, but you'd think if you would have stopped filming by... I would have thought you would have stopped filming by March so you could put the show together and then have it out in August. Especially where WandaVision was due out after that one, originally.
Yeah.
And now WandaVision's done.
Coming first.
But this one isn't. So isn't that kind of weird?
It is.
You know?
But it just, I think this is more of a, Falcon Winter Soldier, I think, is more of a global show. Like, they were filming on different locations, where I think WandaVision all kind of takes place on stage.
Is there any chance that Falcon, we said, I think we speculated this before, but is there any chance that Falcon Winter Soldier has more tie-ins to Black Widow? That, you know, some stuff that goes on in Black Widow, which was supposed to have been out in May.
Right.
And this is supposed to follow it. So is it possible we might not get that until after Black Widow?
Well, I just don't know how long they want to hold it because...
But if it has spoilers in it, you might have to. Yeah, and that's the issue that they have, whereas that has come out that WandaVision has none. It's supposed to be an overall thing that...
Right, it's overall, it's going to tie into Doctor Strange, but I don't think there's direct spoilers or anything.
Right. It's not going to tie into Black Widow. It's not a... there's no
spoilers
doesn't
have anything
to,
Black Widow
in there.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that might be the biggest holdup right now with Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah, could be. I haven't seen a revised release date for it, so who knows.
Right. So, That's a shame.
But yeah, I mean, that's likely the next thing we get. It's just how long we have to wait for it is kind of unclear.
Or we could get Loki season two before we even get one. That would be great. Yeah, that would be fun. We get the, you know, and then we'll get season one, the prequel.
That would be great. Yeah. I mean, hey, I take it if that's what they give us.
I know. I'll take anything right now.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for this week?
I think so.
You got anything else?
No, not really.
All right. That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. All right. Started a little down, a little under the weather. No caffeine, but you powered through.
I powered through, yeah. I'm a trooper.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough job, but you powered through.
Neither rain nor sleep, nor wind and rain.
Or lack of caffeine.
Right, will keep me from my task.
Exactly. All right. Let us know how you're doing out there. You can talk to us all week on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check us out in the bungalow as well at nerdylegion.com. Maybe we'll have Cullen on here sometime.
Maybe.
And, hey, check us out on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it, John?
It would be fantastic.
All right, that's it for this week. We will be back next week with another exciting show.
We will.
Hey, Fred.
That's it for Speculator Roundup.
All right, I need to take a break. I got to go blow my nose.
Okay.
So just hold on. I'll edit that out. But
yeah. Just... Oh, well, I hope so.
Sit tight.